Recently, a movie came out about a boy who embarked on a journey that ended up going down a very different path than he intended. The movie is Lion. It was nominated for 6 Oscars. It's about a 5-year-old boy in India who gets on a train with his older brother, falls asleep, and instead of getting off at the stop with his brother, he travels thousands of miles away from his home. Too young to accurately say where he's from, he ends up in an orphanage and adopted by an Australian family. For those of you who haven't seen the movie, I won't say any more to not spoil the ending, but the movie characterizes what I want to talk about today in multiple ways. Since she was around 2 years old or so, my daughter has pretended to be a mom to babies, in various forms, of course. Some were tigers, some were fairies, some were little dolls. Regardless of their species, she made sure they ate, they had a comfy bed, they had a little house. This really marveled me. We didn't encourage playing house per se, didn't discourage it either, but for certain didn't teach it. She went to school, so could have picked it up there. But it has been a recurring theme to her for the past 3 years, off and on. I would say she somehow just wanted innately to play a mom, which was how I was as a child. I had many dreams and imaginings, but a recurring theme for me was also being a mom to a baby or babies. A simple ideal, really, and a seemingly attainable one, too. I know today is Mother's Day, and I also know that what I'm about to talk to you about is going to sound initially like it's all about motherhood. And it is to some degree. It's my emotional and long story towards motherhood. But while that story is a big deal to me, and I like to tell it, I'm using this story to talk about a bigger message. A message I wish my younger self knew. For it would have saved me a lot of hand-wringing and teeth-gnashing. What I ended up learning over the years is life's path is not linear and it cannot be forced. It's a journey with many twists and turns, and regardless of how far off course you go, sometimes you end up in the most wonderful places. At a relatively young age, I had designed and built a path that largely included having babies and being a mother. That idea morphed over time and occasionally fell out of popularity, but overall it stuck. I thrive on achievement and it's yielded me success professionally, and while I worked towards my career goals, I hadn't given up on that other dream, that of being a mother. And my past history had taught me that when I focused on a plan and put my heart into it, I would achieve my goals. Except for one, except for this one that popped in my head so long ago, probably around the same age as my young daughter. It's true that you need determination and hard work to achieve your goals, but it is not all you need. Sometimes all your efforts and drive and determination are not enough. Sometimes things are simply out of your control. I have a wonderful husband. I currently have a wonderful husband. There was, however, a husband before him. I met that man at work, dated for a few years, married him. He came with a young child from a previous relationship that was complicated and filled with drama. However, we tried to have kids because that was the path I had set for myself. But it didn't work for a few years, so I went to a doctor. They did surgery to see if my parts worked, and they didn't. No way to naturally have a baby. Undaunted and certain I could apply my determination and focus to achieve my goals, we find a fertility doctor, do a couple rounds of IVF, and were unsuccessful. However, that relationship dissolved for completely separate reasons. So then I'm in the dating market after 10 years, but more importantly, now I know I can't have kids. And the master plan is not coming together in any way, shape, or form. I can't even process that and just try to meet people. Well, I meet this wonderful guy who, guess what, doesn't want to have kids. He's handsome and smart, has amazing values, everything I was missing in the last relationship. So I fall in love and my issue is not an issue. My deficiency in the eyes of another is a gift and yet another reason why we were meant to be together. Apparently this is why, even when I didn't understand it or accept it, why this path was meant to be my path, regardless of how much I struggled against it. We marry, I move him across the country to Los Angeles. I'm one of those people whose whole life has centered around goals, who is most comfortable following the path I previously set for myself, and it worked for a long time. When you push so hard for something and don't get it, it can be tough. It is a time when we have a choice in our reaction, or that at the time that doesn't seem clear. What may be automatic or natural reaction, to lament on the failed achievement, to curse someone or something for ruining, getting in the way, failing to provide. It may seem unfair, and it may feel like a time to grieve it wasn't achieved or achieved. I felt like an alien at times, cloaked like a normal human being, but secretly different, secretly deficient. I would wonder what it would be like to have been born in a different society, a different time, a different culture, a different religion. Infertile women are not big boons to growing communities. And then whatever, because that actually has nothing to do with my life. I've not felt any consequences from this other than my emotional scars. The realization that my suffering, while significant, could have been greater, helped to pull me outside of myself, get out of my head. And while I don't want to start grading pain or suffering, I needed to put things in perspective, to see what I was going through in comparison to others, for perspective. And over time, I stopped wallowing. And over time, I started to let go of the path I paved for myself so long ago and found my way to a spot where I had just an occasional sprinkle of sadness rather than days of wallowing thunderstorms. It was a good spot to be in, frankly. I left a little room to acknowledge the path I wanted to, wouldn't let me walk down it, but it really did make peace with it. It didn't hurt. I had met a wonderful and handsome man. And here's where my journey takes a new turn. Here's where the path I wanted to take so desperately for so many years, and had finally put the desperation and yearning to rest, open up, but in an unexpected way. 1 year in a marriage, 4 years together, on our way out the door to meet our friends for lunch, we get a call. The caller says, "I'm Jade's boyfriend. She's pregnant. Do you want our baby?" Jade is a daughter of a family friend of my husband's. Through family and mothers and talking, these two have found us, and more importantly to them, they know we can't have kids. They're young, too young in their opinion, to raise a child. They don't have jobs or a place to live or anything really worked out. As much as I want to be a mother, I want it to be for the right reasons. My head is flooded with emotion and logic. We hung up and rushed out the door to meet our friends. We questioned as if this is what we should do. They do not. They were hysterically happy for us. We spent the weekend grilling them on parenting, rejoicing, fretting, rejoicing, freaking out, and rejoicing. The baby was coming in 3 months. They were going to give her to another woman they didn't know, but they know us, and we can't have kids, so they wanted us to have this baby. And I say the answer in my head first, yes. Then out loud, yes. Yes, I will be her mom. It felt meant to be, and it still does. It felt divine in the spiritual sense. It felt like she found me. My daughter and I are linked in a uniqueness, as it were. 2.5% of U.S. children are adopted, and roughly 6% of women are unable to become pregnant. And both of our rarities are unnoticeable upon meeting either one of us, especially since we have the uncanny luck of looking very much alike. For those of you who know her, she looks just like me, but shorter. My deepest, darkest fear, that she will feel some emptiness and lack of love because of the adoption. It is like a rock I put in my pocket every day and my hand grabs it at least a few times. It affects how I parent. But I still can't love her enough. I try really hard. She's so smart and really beautiful and so much personality. I try to envelop her every day with as much love as I have in me. But I'm human, and the journey of motherhood was not the only journey I designed for myself. Success at work is important to me, and I get bogged into traffic and getting ready for big meetings and being late. And what I want to accomplish, it may not include her. And I feel guilty, as if I'm failing this girl who found me despite the odds, who I waited a long, long time for. But let me get back to my central point for a bit. When I think about pushing down a very specific path for a considerable amount of time at a considerable expense, I also think of Hillary Clinton. She pushed down a very specific path for a considerable amount of time at a considerable personal expense. And not financial expense, or not only financial expense, but emotional, intellectual expense. You don't shoot for the White House without that being your sole goal. I imagine you can't start thinking of any other path that could very well be the one you'll be taking. You have to stay focused on this singular goal. So then when it's not achieved, when that path is blocked, to you it may seem that there's no way forward. However, life always moves forward. It may not be in the direction you wanted or expected. On November 9th, Ms. Clinton woke up to find herself on a very different path than she expected, than the country expected, than the world expected. As Hillary had to face a new path on November 9th, so did much of the nation and much of this congregation. For most of us here, we also have a new path. Ms. Clinton not getting elected has blocked paths that we had assumed would be open to us, or at least it would be easier to walk down. For many of us here, and for me, I had wrongly assumed we were further down the paths of LGBTQ rights, immigrant rights, racial equality, sexual equality than we were. It was a wake-up call I was not ready for and did not want to answer. But undaunted, I've seen people like Courtney recover and build new paths around the path that was just blocked. Sometimes the steps to achieve your goals involved a circuitous route with detours, delays, and potholes. Writing this was another step for me in accepting this path, putting into words my feelings and experiences releases them a bit from bouncing in my head, where things can go quickly from light to dark. In trying to talk to you about embracing the unexpected or unplanned path, I convinced myself. In the writings of Chuang Tse, the Taoist Chinese philosopher, we find the following story. At the Gorge of Lu, the great waterfall plunges for thousands of feet, its spray visible for miles. In the churning waters below, no living creature can be seen. One day, Kang Fu Tse was standing at the distance from the pool's edge when he saw an old man being tossed about in the turbulent water. He called to his disciples, and together they ran to rescue the victim. But by the time they reached the water, the old man had climbed onto the bank and was walking along, singing to himself. Kang Fu Tse hurried up to him. "You would have to be a ghost to survive that," he said. "But you seem to be a man instead. What secret power do you have?" "Nothing special," the old man replied. "I began to learn while very young and grew up practicing it. Now I'm certain of success. I go down with the water and come up with the water. I follow it and forget myself. I survive because I don't struggle against the water's superior power. That's all." This story serves as a reminder to me where my nature is to push and push and push and expect life to allow me to walk the path I've envisioned. Sometimes I need to let go to stop swimming upstream, as it were. And when you stop fighting and struggling, you get across the river more easily, and that calm allows gifts to be recognized for what they are. And you know what? The path I didn't want, the path I didn't plan for, the path I rejected, cried over, deeply mourned, hated myself at times, hated God at other times, brought me this completely beautiful, smart, joyous, I mean that, and darling person who has challenged how I view the world and how I view myself. To me, she's nothing short of amazing. Parenting isn't easy, and my husband and I face the same challenges I assume most parents face. But when she says things like, "You look really pretty today," and after I smile, she says, "Remember to keep that smile in your face because I want you to stay happy." I know I've been given the privilege not just raising, but being part of a very special person's life. This lesson, simple in its nature, yet profound in its impact on me, continues to inform my approach to life. It serves as a reminder as goals I make aren't achieved, and life brings other surprises or other doors open, to not dwell on unmet goals or mourn dreams not realized. For I may just be in a moment of constriction before I can experience the expansion, or just around the corner something I didn't imagine or plan, but is more beautiful and wonderful than I could ever imagine. Joseph Campbell was an American writer who is often described as a mythologist. His work centered mainly on the human experience. He wrote the following: "We must be willing to get rid of the life we've planned so as to have the life that is waiting for us. The old skin has to be shed before the new one can come." I began this morning telling you about the movie I watched called Lion. And now that you know my story, you may understand why my husband and I cried nearly through the entire thing. For while the tale of adoption certainly touches us emotionally, it is a tumultuous journey the main character takes to realize his goals with times of uncertainty and sorrow along the way that feels so akin to my own journey. And as I continue on my journey, I try to balance myself with focusing on goals and achievements while keeping myself open to new paths that I couldn't have imagined. As Caitlin Matthews wrote, who's a writer on Celtic, shamanic, and Arthurian traditions, wrote, "Remember that imagination is the faculty of the soul, and then it would suggest new pathways to us. We're being invited to explore the territory of the soul in ways that will certainly change and re-enchant us." Thank you for listening.